Well, praise the Lord. Good morning. Is anybody out there? All right. So although we can't sing, it's okay to talk. Amen? All right. So last week we began as a part of our series, Formation Through the Psalms. And for many of you who have been around, we have been talking about spiritual formation and four practices engaged around spiritual formation. And last week, Kevin began with talking about the first of the four formative practices, spiritual formation being that first one. And then today, we'll take a look at community formation. So this is an interesting cultural moment. It's an interesting time to be alive. It's an interesting time to be a follower of Jesus in a world filled with chaos and division. Even as we move into next week, you know, I wonder 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when the historians look back on this time, what will be the word spoken about the Church of Jesus Christ? What would be said about the people of God during this season? And it's interesting to me, to discover as I hear followers of Christ talk and discuss, share their opinion, it's amazing to see how this cultural moment has risen, has caused a number of idols to be revealed. The idol of independence. The idol of personal freedoms. The idol of individualism. In the midst of the body of Christ, so many of these things have come to the forefront. And in the midst of differences of opinion, it seems as if our own opinion matters more than the opinion of God. That our own values are more important, our own allegiances to whatever is more important than our allegiance to the King. People of God, we have become so comfortable in responding to all of what's happening in our culture, just like the world, as if unity in the body doesn't matter. I want to declare today, I want to suggest deeply and greatly that unity matters. Amen. That no matter what differences we hold, unity in the body of Christ matters. So I want to look at a familiar passage of Scripture today. And I want to present this idea of just how important unity is to the body of Christ and why it matters. So turn with me to Psalm 133, a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's only three verses, but very powerful message that I believe is being taught to the people of God, and I believe is a very formative psalm that helps us to understand that unity really does matter. Psalm 120 through 134, those are known as the ascent psalms, psalms of ascent. And these psalms are typically psalms that are sang as the people of God who are pilgrims on a journey coming from various parts of the land as they travel upward towards Jerusalem. So it's an ascent psalm. They are in ascent, in the movement of going up towards Jerusalem. And the people of God, individual pilgrims, would find themselves on a journey towards Jerusalem for the common purpose of worshiping God. Amen? Amen. For the common purpose of worshiping God. So all of these individuals would find themselves collectively coming together to praise and to worship the true and living God. So it's known as a psalm of ascent. These individual pilgrims would journey up to Jerusalem to the house of the Lord, singing of the blessings of unity of heart and purpose. Having banded together through the difficulties of travel, having banded together through the hardships of traveling through the wilderness, traveling through the land together towards Jerusalem. They find themselves, all of these individuals, ultimately seeing themselves as the larger family of God. And here's what the psalmist declares: how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Look at what the psalmist is declaring. For the sake of our thought today, of the first thought that I want to raise in your hearing, is that God pays attention to when his people live together in unity. See, the NIV doesn't quite capture what is being declared here. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is." Many of you who remember that King James language, it says, "Behold," it says, "pay attention to how good and how pleasant it is." Pay attention to the fact that God is looking in on when his people come together in unity. God pays attention to when his people live together in unity. We need to behold the beauty of unity. We need to see it. We need to behold it. We need to marvel at the fact that God is able to bring individuals from all various aspects of the world and to unite them into one people. That's something to behold. That's something to marvel. That's something that God pays attention to. It catches God's attention. And he declares that it is good and that it is pleasant. Not only is it good in his sight, but it's good for you and I. This psalm of ascent really is about how individuals become a part of the larger family of God, a larger people. And I was thinking about the journey to worship as these individuals would have been on the journey to worship together. I was thinking about the journey to worship, and maybe you have had this experience yourself. You're on your way to the gathering space, and you and your spouse get into an argument. That is the worst time to get into an argument as you're journeying together to worship. And yet it seems like that's the time when the enemy hits, because he wants to disunify us. Or maybe you've had the experience of your children having a meltdown on the way, on the journey to worship. Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Or maybe that person who's driving on the road and you're already 10 minutes late and they're driving like your grandparents. And there is this disruption in your spirit that gets in the way of wanting to worship God. There's a relational aspect. There's a relational aspect that's important. So I was just thinking about as these Israelites, as these pilgrims are journeying on their way to worship, and this reality of unity really stands at the center of what they were all about. When I think about unity, I think about the early church. Now, the early church had its problems. It had its challenges. But I think about the early church, and I think about the type of unity that was expressed in the early church. And watch what the scripture says. And I think sometimes we miss this. But watch what the scripture says when they were in one heart and one purpose. Watch what the scripture says. If you'll look to Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Acts chapter 4, it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. That means they were unified. They were expressing unity. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And watch this. This is important. Here it is. And God's grace was what? So powerfully at work in them all. They were unified. They were in one heart and purpose. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. What I want you to see is that when the people of God were united, the grace of God was powerfully at work. Are you listening, people of God? Can you see how unity matters and how God pays attention to when his people live together in unity? I want to show you one more example. Because Jesus, I think, speaks to this as well in Matthew chapter 5. Again, the context of this particular psalm is the gathering of the people of God in worship together. And I want you to see the importance that God places on unity. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, you're in worship. And you're offering your praise and your gift and your life to God. And there you remember that your brother or your sister has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Jesus is saying that you cannot truly engage in worship of God when there is disunity in your relationships. So he says, place it down. Go get that right and come back and then offer your gift to me. Jesus assumes that we cannot truly worship the Lord if there is a problem in our relationships with our brothers and sisters. God pays attention. God pays attention when we live together in unity. Now, here's the opposite of that. God pays attention when we're not living together in unity. So I pray as you listen to this, as you hear this, that it disrupts something in your spirit, that it energizes something in your soul that says, I have to be about unity. And how does my practices and behavior and language and talk and discussion, how does that get in the way of unity being advanced in the body of Christ? God pays attention to when his people live together in unity, but the divisions of unity today seem so great. Do I have a witness? Racial divisions, political divisions, socioeconomic divisions, theological divisions, conservative versus liberal. I'm overwhelmed, discouraged, and at times wanting to give up, but the psalmist is trying to lead us somewhere. And if we'll just hang on and hold on, the psalmist will take us to where God wants us to be. Do I have a witness in the house? See, I can preach this if you preach with me. Here's what the text says. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down. Say running down. Running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were what? Falling on Mount Zion. So I Kevin talked about Hebrew parallelism last week, and I want to lift up this idea of as the psalmist talks about unity, he identifies these two concepts. He gives us a parallelism in this idea of pointing towards oil and pointing towards dew. But there's also another parallelism that isn't as apparent, but interesting and in our understanding of unity, and we'll talk about that. So it is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. Here's something interesting about liquids. Oil and dew, which is droplets of water. They're liquids. What do we know about liquids? Liquids must succumb to the law of gravity. Liquids, when allowed to flow, will flow which direction? Downward. Liquids don't flow up. That would be a miracle. They flow downward. And as the psalmist helps us to understand and to look at this, he wants us to see, and he wants us to get a picture of what unity is like. Unity is like oil that runs down from the head to the beard to the very feet of Aaron. Here's my second thought. In both of these illustrations or similes of oil and dew, there is this great abundance that is pictured there. It's not just a dap of oil. It's not just the little oil we put on our fingers and pray for people and put the cross on people's head when we pray for them to anoint them. This is an abundance of oil. It is flowing from the top of his head through his beard to his very feet. It is an abundance of oil. When we talk about dew from one mountain to the other, from Mount Hermon to Mount Zion, it would have to be a whole lot of water flowing. We see abundance. So my second thought, my second idea is that God's people can live together in unity because it abundantly flows from above. So this oil, this water, is this idea of it coming from above and flowing downward. And the reason you and I can live in unity, even with all the challenges of our culture today, is because it comes from God above and it abundantly flows. It is available. The oil. Unity is like oil. It's not just any kind of oil, but it's a precious oil. And the word here in the text where it says it's a precious oil is the same word that speaks to, in verse 1, the word good, which is also the Hebrew word tov, which is used as God creates the world and declares in each moment the preciousness. And God declares in each moment the beauty of what he has created. He says he creates the moon and the stars, and at the end of the day, he says it is good. And it says that, declares that over and over again, it is good, it is good, it is good. The creation of God is good. It's the same word that's used here when it talks about this precious oil. This precious oil that it speaks of is this oil that's mixed with spices and was to be used only for the anointing of the priests and the articles of the tabernacle and ultimately for the temple as described in Exodus chapter 30. David here is in fact describing the unity in the body is valuable. It is unique. It is a sweet smelling aroma. And it creates an atmosphere that's pleasant. Now imagine if the people of God lived in unity. Imagine how it would signify the preciousness of God. Imagine if the people of God lived in unity, the sweet type of aroma and the atmosphere that it would present for those who are outside of the body. The anointing of Aaron with his oil signifies God's special blessing upon it, upon him. So what David is saying is that God places a special blessing when his people live in unity. It's running down, the text says. Our unity is to be seen as a special sign of God's blessing. It's to be a sign of his blessing poured out in abundance. When you read the text, you see the extravagance of what is displayed here. The prodigal nature of God is demonstrated here. I know every time we hear prodigal, we think of the prodigal son. But the word prodigal actually means extravagant. And so here we see the extravagant blessing of God. Even as I thought about, you know, the oil running down Aaron, I thought, man, that's messy. You know, my OCD kind of kicked in. That's messy. But you know what? When we talk about unity in the midst of division, in the midst of the divisiveness that we find ourselves living in right now, it is messy. Would you not agree? It is messy. But it is to flow from us. It is to be extravagant. And then David says, it's like dew. It's like dew. He describes the unity of God's people as they live and as they worship together like dew flowing from Hermon to Mount Zion. This would have to be a lot of dew to reach from Mount Hermon to Mount Zion. But it's dew that would quench a thirsty land. And so the whole idea is that our unity would be a unity that brings refreshment to a thirsty land. See, our land, our culture, our country is crying out for the people of God to declare and to live into the fact that unity really does matter. Because not only does it create an atmosphere, it also creates a space of refreshment. And I don't know about you, but I need some refreshing. It's refreshing, brings on refreshment that comes through God, caused by the dew that flows from Hermon to Jerusalem. There's no limit to what's being said here. The abundant and the extravagant movement downward. Here it is. Downward is not to be missed. It's not to be missed. Pay attention. God's people are ascending up. The blessing of God is coming down. There is a parallelism being communicated here behind this idea of the movement that happens in the passage. The movement of the people going up towards Jerusalem and the downward movement of the oil and the dew onto the people of God. God is trying to teach us something and help us to understand that when we take our eyes and point them towards Jesus and keep our eyes on him, the very flow of unity comes down upon us and moves in a downward movement, challenging us to think about Jesus. How so? Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every good and perfect gift, and the only way that we can actually live out this unity is if we keep our eyes on Jesus and recognize that he was the one who was willing to descend, who was willing to submit himself in humility and to release his benefits and privilege and advantages for the benefit and the blessing of others. Are you seeing me? Jesus didn't hold on and grasp to his equality with God, but in a downward movement, taught you and I that in humility, that's really where the unity comes. The only way that you and I can begin to live into the unity that the Spirit has already given us is if we keep our eyes fixed on the one who's up, who gave us an example of how to live, who was willing to humble himself. It's only through the power of humility that unity can ever exist and have its space in the body of Christ. Are you listening to me? That there is a movement up and a movement down that God is calling us to, that this particular psalm is pointing to. Amen. Here's my final thought. I am losing time. This unity comes from God above, right? It comes from him. And it flows abundantly. But this final thought that I think is so important for us to understand is that God releases the blessing of true life. The blessing of true life wherever his people are united together. The blessing of true life is released. Unity is not something that we can achieve. It is something that has already been given to you. And the blessing that God has in store for you when it comes to this idea of unity is that he wants you to have true life. And so many of us are living these independent Christian lives. It's just about me and Jesus. It's enough for me to just have my personal devotion time and, well, you know, to heck with the people of God. And God is saying that there is a favor, there is a grace that is released. There is a blessing of true life that is released when you learn to live in community and when you learn to live out the unity that the Spirit has already given you. Unity matters. Look at what the text says. It says, for there, verse 3, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. What is there where unity exists? That's the place. We saw it in Acts chapter 4 where the grace of God was actively at work in the lives of the people. There is a blessing of true life that God wants to give his people, but we won't experience it if we don't unite. If we don't live out the unity that is intended, the ultimate blessing of God is everlasting life. And I'm not just talking about that future reality. I'm talking about right now. And it is possible that so many of us are not fully experiencing the joy of life that God intends for us to have because we lack unity among believers. And we're lacking a full expression of the life of the age to come in the here and now. Let me say that again. We are lacking a full expression of the life of the age to come in the here and now. The world is missing out on seeing a picture of what the life to come is all about because the church has decided not to live out its unity of the Spirit. We ought to be a foretaste of the coming kingdom. And unfortunately, we have given our allegiance to the tribe of the elephant. We have given our allegiance to the tribe of the donkey. But you and I have been called to something greater. We've been called to the lion of the tribe of Judah. And that is where our allegiance is first and foremost. And when we, the people of God, get it right, God will release the blessing of true life. And I want to challenge you, Tabernacle Community Church, if we could get our eyes on him, if we can commit to ascending in worship to him, if we can unite in purpose to look at him and to live like him, God will release a blessing on this people. A blessing of true life. And I think some of the things that we have experienced over the years is because God has united the hearts of men and women in this place. The purpose of worshiping him and him alone. God desires unity in your family. God desires unity in this fellowship. God desires unity in the church of Jesus Christ across the board. And God is ready to release something in the atmosphere. If his people would be willing to unite. May that form you to the people that God has called you to be. Can we pray? Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this beautiful psalm of ascent. And God, as we ascend in worship and unite in worship of you, I pray, Lord, that as we see you, Jesus, that we would be willing to be humble. And that humility would express itself in a way that says, I'm willing to disadvantage myself for the advantage of somebody else so that your name could be glorified. God, release the blessing of true life onto your people as we unite in purpose, as we unite to gather in worship. So we unite as your people in a thirsty land. May refreshment come because we've chosen to follow you, Jesus. Forgive us when we have added to the disunity. Forgive us when we have poked at the conflict. May your extravagant grace overwhelm us in this place. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. People of God, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He just wants you to experience life. Just wants you to experience life. So will you join us? Will you unite with us? The common purpose of worshiping the one true and living God. So every day I am asking myself, have I demonstrated allegiance to the lion? Have I demonstrated allegiance to the lion? You can worship God in your giving today. Again, we encourage you to continue to use the various electronic methods to do that. There is a basket located back here if you plan to give that way. We are asking you, just as we continue to try to demonstrate our social distancing and practices, man, I can't wait until I can hug you. I can't wait until I can stand back there and shake your hand again. I miss that. But for now, we're willing to disadvantage ourselves for the advantage of others as an expression of love in the kingdom. So we ask that you would exit through this door, out through door D, and exit out this way. And please, you know, as much as we want to be around each other, let's try to practice social distancing as much as possible. Again, may his grace rest upon you, and may his power and presence be released in your life so that you may experience true life as you demonstrate the unity, the spirit of peace. Go in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.